Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning. It's 8:30 on Friday, March 22nd. I'm Desiree Frazier. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, the final two former Rankin County officers who call themselves the Goon Squad are sentenced after brutalizing two black men last year. Lawmakers continue to disagree over how the state should fund public education, plus several bills moving through the legislature could redefine what rights are available to transgender Mississippians. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. The last two members of the Rankin County Goon Squad are sentenced after pleading guilty to beating, torturing, and sexually assaulting two black men in 2023. Former chief investigator for the Rankin County Sheriff's Department, Brett McAlpin, was sentenced to 27 years in federal prison. The other officer, Joshua Hartfield, a former Richland police officer who participated in the attack but wasn't a part of the Sheriff's Department Goon Squad, received 10 years. In total, the six officers will serve 132 years. Trent Walker is the attorney for both of the men attacked by these officers, Eddie Parker and Michael Jenkins.
The wheels of justice that have ground so slowly for generations are speeding up, and we are seeing coming to fruition justice in Rankin County, one of the most notorious counties. We are seeing that coming to fruition. For too long, the Rankin County Sheriff's Department has acted as a machine that has ground people up and spit them out, many times unjustly. And just now, one of the chief grinders in that machine, Brett McAlpin, finally got what was coming to him. And trust me and believe me when I say it is long overdue.
The raid in January of 2023 was organized by Brett McAlpin, who, as we mentioned, served as the chief investigator at the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. He received a call from a neighbor that two black men were staying with a white woman in a home. While he did not participate in the most violent parts of the attack, his attorney, Ephraim Seller, says he got a higher sentence than the men who put a gun in one of the victim's mouth and pulled the trigger.
I do believe that a sentence was required in this, punishment is required in this case. However, I think for Mr. McAlpin to be sentenced to more time than the actual person who shot Mr. Jenkins, I fought against that. But unfortunately, you respect the court's rulings when they make a ruling, but mostly in the work we put into this, you're disappointed that, you didn't receive the outcome that you wanted. But I do think, again, the court has the final say in this.
Malik Shabazz is co-counsel for the two victims in the case. He says this is a big step towards justice, but he adds still there are concerns about the policing practices at the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. And during speaking with reporters outside of the federal courthouse in Jackson, he did repeat what was said to the victims using the N-word. It has been deleted from what you're about to hear.
A new day has come.
Yes.
Hope in Mississippi,
yes.
A state that was hopeless and believed that that racial justice and against police brutality and racism, that it could never come. But now the hope has come.
Yes.
And we're sorry that it had to come on the abuse of Michael Jenkins, the abuse of Eddie Parker.
Yes.
But God is using these men and is using this family. What you all have heard to conclude so you can hear from others is that, this is the worst. When you've heard in this case about Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker being called being called monkeys and boys by these deputies up to the highest level. I mean, this sounds to you almost like it's the Ku Klux Klan in uniform.
Yes.
And this kind of activity, had it not been stopped, had it not been checked by federal prosecutors and federal judges, it would still be going on at this very hour unchecked. But justice has come.
Angela English is president of the Rankin County chapter of the NAACP. She contacted the U.S. Justice Department to investigate the allegations of abuse and says the job doesn't stop with these sentences.
We don't intend to go to sleep on this. Although the sentencing process is over, we are not finished with this. We're going to make sure that this never, ever, ever happens again in our county, in our state, and in the nation. And we hope that this sends a message not only to the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Brian Bailey, but we hope that it sends a message throughout the state, throughout the United States, and throughout the world that no one has the right to deprive a person of their human rights or their civil rights.
Here are the sentences handed down by U.S. District Judge Tom Lee this week. 29-year-old Christian Dedman received 40 years. 53-year-old Brett McAlpin, 27. 31-year-old Hunter Elwood, 20 years. 46-year-old Jeffrey Middleton, 17 and a half years. 28-year-old Daniel Updike, 17 and a half years. And 32-year-old Joshua Hartfield, the Richland police officer, 10 years. Next, lawmakers continue to disagree on how the state should fund public schools. Now, we're going to take 3 minutes of your time because we need to help pay for this Mississippi Edition broadcast on MPB Think Radio. It's drive time. And if you're planning on helping out the nonprofits that are meaningful to you this year, now is the time. And you can do that by giving online at mpbonline.org or by calling 888-372-4483. And with me now in the studio are Liz Gill and Lacey Alexander to tell you more.
Thanks, Desiree. It is MPB Think Radio. It's the final day of our on-air campaign. Have you had a chance to take part? You can do it right now, whether it's $100, $200, or as a sustainer at $10 or $20 a month. Your donation is going to help us get to the finish line. Here's Lacey Alexander with ways you can help.
Thank you, Liz. Call by call, donation by donation, you make a home where award-winning journalism is allowed to flourish, where educational television programs can remain accessible to children from all walks of life. In your life and the lives of people you love are better because of MPB. Take a few minutes to show your support. The critical thing is to help out now, because every donation is helping us get closer to finishing the drive successfully. Time is truly running out, and you don't want to miss being entered to win a new smartwatch. Visit mpbonline.org or make a donation right now by calling 888-372-4483. You can also text the word GIVE to that same number, 888-372-4483.
MPB Think Radio invests your contributions into coverage of local policies and policy issues on Mississippi Edition. You hear it Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 9 here on MPB. We'll cover the primaries, the conventions, the events leading up to Election Day to help our electorate enter the polls well-informed. Mississippi Edition and the Gulf States Collaborative will stay on top of that for you. You keep the community connected to the people they serve. Do your part right now. Support journalism, a pillar of our democracy.
You probably turn to MPB Think Radio every day or several times a week. So do thousands of others from all walks of life and all ages. This is a free community resource for everyone. The way we keep it free and accessible is through support from the public. You may be able to give $1,000 or more to MPB Think Radio so that we can turn that into life-changing public service. You use it yourself. You derive value from it. This is a chance to have a tremendous impact on thousands of others as well. That's a little more than $83 a month as a sustainer. 888-372-4483 or online at mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. The Mississippi House has taken up the Senate's education funding bill, SB 2332. But they are replacing the language in the measure with their own plan. The chambers have different views on funding. The Senate wants to tweak the existing formula called the Mississippi Adequate Education Program. The House wants to replace it with their INSPIRE Act plan, which relies on baseline funding per student weighted depending on the individual needs of students. House Republican Rob Roberson chairs the House Education Committee. He says the two chambers now have to come together and hash out their differences on this issue. He speaks with our Will Stribling about the measure.
Hopefully we have a good conversation with the Senate and find out if they've got some things they'd like to talk about, figure out whether or not there's some things they would like to find some compromise on. I do know that anytime you have a House and a Senate and we're sitting in kind of two different directions, there's always going to be compromises that are going to have to be made. So the next step is for us to sit down and talk.
Have any of those conversations taken place?
There have not been any real major conversations, either from our side or their side at this point. I think that the Senate's been really busy with the things that they're dealing with. And goodness knows, I know that I've been busy with my side. So I think it's just a matter of timing.
Do you expect that they'll do the same thing with y'all's bill and then y'all just have to hash it out in conference?
I would think so. That is kind of the norm whenever you're sitting with each other's. Now, I would love for us to get together before that and be able to, from my standpoint, show them how much better our bill is and have a conversation about the things that they may want to do to make it better. So it would be nice to have that conversation before we hash it out with two different bills going in two different directions. But the normal process is that they have every bit of ability to change our bill just like we change their bill. So I have no doubt that's probably the next step that they'll take, but I look forward to us sitting down and having a conversation about it.
The House's plan would fund schools at a higher rate than the Senate's plan, which is more than was calculated. Vice Chair of the Education Committee, Republican Kent McCarty.
The first numbers that came out were based on the year prior assessed value numbers for the counties and cities. So that was the best information we had at the start of session. But in the last couple of weeks, the new numbers for the fiscal year that actually will be used for 2025 funding, those came out. So the LBO reran the numbers. It increased the total amount that we needed to invest in public education to fully fund INSPIRE by about $25 million more. So less than 1% of change. But with that extra funding, it actually pushed us over the $3 billion mark for the INSPIRE full funding, which we've already appropriated in an appropriations bill. And that is $10 million more than what full funding for MAEP would be in 2025 if we were to fully fund it. So it's $250 million more than we spent last year, and it's also $10 million more than what we would spend to fully fund MAEP if we were to fully fund it in 2025.
Now, with the move y'all made today, the only thing left is to hash out y'all's differences with the Senate. What are you thinking about that process, and how are you expecting it to go over the next few weeks?
I really don't know. I'm looking forward to working with the Senate. I mean, I know they've got a lot of ideas, and we've worked together with them on a lot of bills. I think, people watched us work together on the teacher pay raise bill from a few years ago, and the collaboration between the House and the Senate, I think, ultimately gave us a much better bill. So I'm hoping we get to do that on this, too. I mean, if the bill, I know a lot of times people are worried when stuff goes to conference, but it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. I think, again, we saw the teacher pay raise that the bill we ended up with through the conference process was better than the original House bill, and it was better than the original Senate bill. It took some key parts of both. So if we can sit down and work with the Senate and listen to their concerns and take their input and come together to make a better bill, I think that's only a better win for Mississippi than we've got right now. So I think that's a great direction for us to head in from here.
Coming up, several bills moving through the legislature could redefine what rights are available to transgender Mississippians. You're listening to Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Please think about why you choose MPB as your station for news and thoughtful discussion, and then support everything you love about MPB by contributing what you think is fair. You can do that by calling 888-372-4483, or take 3 minutes and go online to mpbonline.org. Now with me in the studio are Liz Gill and Lacey Alexander to tell you more.
This is MPB Think Radio, and I'm Liz Gill. From all of us, thank you for stepping up to show your support. But our drive isn't over yet, so it's important we hear from you if you have not yet protected what you love on MPB. A contribution of $50, $75, or $100 will help in a big way. We're getting there one pledge at a time, and we need you to contribute your pledge. Here is Lacey Alexander to let you know how you can take action.
Thank you, Liz. Please pitch in your support as we approach the final hours of the March campaign. MPB Think Radio set today as the last day of the campaign, but the success of the drive is up to you. Here's the thing. We're still running well behind our overall goal, which means your participation is critical. A contribution in any amount will make a difference. The most reliable form of funding for this 24-hour-a-day service comes in the form of your contribution. $5, $10, maybe $20 a month. This is going to be success. We know that MPB listeners will rally for their favorite public radio station today. Call or text the word GIVE to 888-372-4483 or follow the Donate Now link at mpbonline.org.
This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. I'm Desiree Frazier. There are three bills moving through the state legislature that could prevent transgender Mississippians from having equal access to privacy. House Bill 585 began as a bill to segregate prisons based on biological sex, but now includes provisions that extended to higher education settings. Other bills seek to redefine gender and state statute, reducing in-state legal recourse a transgender person could take to claim discrimination, while also opening them up to liabilities for lawsuits. Our Kobe Vance speaks about these bills with McKenna Rainey Gray, LGBTQ Justice Project staff attorney at the ACLU of Mississippi.
House Bill 1607, which is called a Women's Bill of Rights, but it's really a sex redefinition bill that defines people based on their reproductive capacity only, and is really limiting in the way that that is going to be applied in Mississippi law. We've got House Bill 585, which started out just about sex segregating incarceration facilities in Mississippi, which are already sex segregated, but it was about defining that based on reproductive capacity and sex assigned at birth. It's also been added to include an education aspect. So any public housing or any housing for educational facilities, universities, colleges, community colleges, they're going to have defined sex segregated housing on campus. If they offer any housing, they have to have at least one men's and one women's facility. And again, that's defined exclusively based on sex assigned at birth.
And I believe that even extends into things that are not necessarily housing, like changing rooms and bathrooms.
Yeah. The last one is the SAFER Act, which is Senate Bill 2753. That's a general restroom ban for public facilities that is saying public buildings are required to have men's and women's facilities, and you're only allowed to go in them if your sex assigned at birth matches the corresponding restroom that you're walking into.
What are these bills going to do for trans Mississippians, whether regardless of age?
They're intended to keep people from being able to like live and function and work in society as they are. Because if you are a transgender person, are you going to go into a restroom where you are very uncomfortable? You do not fit there. You don't feel accepted there. Other people are uncomfortable by your presence, possibly. Or are you going to stay home or make sure that you don't drink enough water so that you're not going to have to use the restroom when you're out? Or make sure that you're never going into a public building that is affected by this. I know people that are refusing to drive through states that have restroom bans. So if they're driving across the country, they're having to swing north to be able to avoid the places that are implementing these kinds of bills.
It seems like these bills, better to be the ones that we saw last year in Mississippi, which banned gender-affirming care for trans teens and youth. It seems like all these different bills that are being piled up, not just in Mississippi, but across the nation, are sparking things like what we're seeing in Alabama right now, where you have lawmakers, politicians coming after an individual who's just working their job at the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center. It just seems like such an attack on people, and now it's spilling over into the individual lives of people just trying to go about their day.
It's really distinct from how Mississippi portrays itself as a really hospitable state. Come, move here. We welcome everybody. We accept everybody. And there's this disconnect between how interpersonally kind people can be in their everyday life and the kind of really terrible attacks on people that are just living their lives, just existing in society, not hurting anybody, just being integrated into society in a way that people don't appreciate, lawmakers especially.
Going back to House Bill 585, that began, as you said, looking at prisons, and it just seems like such a weaponized tool to attack trans people who are already incarcerated. They don't have any choice about where they are, but now they are going to be put in a place that could be dangerous.
Yeah, likely is dangerous for them. There's a federal law called the Prison Rape Elimination Act, which says that you cannot have a rule like this. So this proposed bill is directly violating that because PREA, Prison Rape Elimination Act, says that you cannot have sex-segregated housing that is determined based on your sex assigned at birth only. You're supposed to speak with somebody and find out about their lived experience, find out about their preferences, find out about maybe how their body has changed, if that's maybe relevant, and then make a decision that is specific to that person every single time. Like 9 times out of 10, you have somebody that says, I'm a boy, I'm male, I identify as male, put me in the men's prison, I don't care. It's a non-issue. But if you have transgender people, and like everybody else in society, they are incarcerated at the same rates as everybody else. If you have somebody who is transgender and interacts with the carceral system in Mississippi, they're going to be pigeonholed into one option only in a way that is intentionally known to be unsafe. The Prison Rape Elimination Act prohibits that kind of characterization because it is unsafe for people. And this is not a law that is going to make anybody safer.
This has been Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.